Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Claudia Monticelli here, host of the podcast Multiple Voices. And this is a special episode because it's my 100th episode of all time. So I really would like to celebrate. I've been thinking about it, but I can't take out the spumante or the champagne. You wouldn't even taste it. So I thought, let's have a wonderful guest on. And so today I have with me a woman after my own heart, Joanne Richards. Say hello, Joanne, to our audience.
Hello, how are you? Congratulations on your 100th episode.
Thank you. And Joanne is speaking to us from Portland, Oregon. Who is Joanne? Well, she's got two sides to her life story. And I think I'm going to give you a little bit of both, and then we'll have questions for her. All right. She's a native Californian now living in Portland, Oregon, and she has a thriving bookkeeping practice. And I, you know, that already gave me a headache. When we were talking about Oregon and the wonderful wines, you said wine's giving me a headache. Well, bookkeeping gives me a headache. She's the mother of a grown daughter and proud grandmother of 5. That alone is a record.
Sorry.
Oh, the big numbers are coming after 3. All right. See, she dramatically changed her life after six marriages that included abuse, divorce, death, and husband number 7 is incarcerated for a crime he didn't commit. Now, normal people would slit their wrists at this point, you know, and we're laughing. She's laughing. We have been laughing since we got on. But wait, there's more. Now, Joanne left the Mormon Church. And for not everyone knows what the Mormon Church is like. And maybe we can lead with that. And she never looked back. And through many struggles, she found her strengths, her gifts, and inner power, and learned that dreams can and dreams do come true. She's recently published her first book. I like that you announced it as your first, so there's more to come. The book's title is Midlife Magic, and here she shares stories and lessons learned and offering the hope that it's never too late and you can follow a new path and change your lives for the better. Let's start. And the topic that we're going to talk about has nothing to do with what I have just presented her as, first let's start and lead with the Mormon Church. What brought you to, go there? How did you get there?
How did I become a Mormon?
Yeah.
Oh, I grew up in a fairly non-religious family, but we were Methodists, if you want to call it that.
Right.
That's the church my parents took me to. And then we started camping with a family that were Mormons, and one of their daughters became my best friend. And I liked the wholesome family culture of the Mormon church. So I said, well, I think I want to join that church. And my parents were fine with that. So I joined that church when I was 12.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah.
When better.
Yeah. No. And I never had a problem with the church. Again, it was just the crappy husbands I married that happened to be Mormon.
Oh, now I get it.
I married now five I Mormons. Out of seven, I married five Mormons.
Wow.
And they were all terrible husbands. So,
yeah. And when you say, I never looked back, what was it? What was the straw that broke the camel's back?
About leaving the church?
Yes, about leaving the church.
It was just, well, when I met number seven, Mark, we just started talking about all kinds of things. And spirituality and not religion. And he just opened my eyes up to, well, there's more to life than just, you know, believing in one certain religion. And also it was partly, it's like when you're a Mormon, you're at church almost, well, for several hours on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I wanted to visit him and more than I wanted to be at church. I said, well, that's something telling.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I just realized I didn't need to be a member of that church anymore. I didn't need to have my whole life.
Right.
You know, it's like, it wasn't traumatic. It wasn't, you know, nobody in authority in the church abused me. It was just the men were terrible husbands, you know, and you could say they abused their, you know, power. I'm the head of the household
personal.
Crap. But
right. Right.
Yeah, so it was a personal thing. It wasn't, you know, it just, anyway, it wasn't the church. It wasn't a church leader that abused me
right.
or, you know, traumatized mm-hmm. me or anything. So, but it was just all of a sudden, I just didn't need it. And it's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
And
gone. Done that. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
It was a lot simpler than a lot of people have it, I think.
Thank goodness. So now, you know, the title of your book is Midlife Magic. And that's one of the topics that I want to talk of, magic, because there are a lot of topics that you can speak about that not very many people like to talk about. They don't even like to hear talk about that. One of them is aliens. One of them is UFOs. Another is paranormal elementals. And people will scratch their heads and say, well, what is that? And magic itself is not very clear to people. You have your choice of where to start with that, because, you know, I'm trying to think what came first, the chicken or the egg. Shall we start with paranormal phenomena in general? What is it?
Yes. For me, it's the ability to sense the presence and communicate with spirits.
Okay.
And I apparently had that ability when I was still married to husband number three, who was a funeral director. So long before.
Oh, wait. A funeral director. Now that is interesting, because that will give you right. That brings you right into that, you know, the world after and the world now. Is that how, was that fundamental in the experiences that you had, or was it just coincidental that it happened with him?
As a Mormon, you believe in an afterlife.
Yes.
So I believed that. And then he happened to be a funeral director for a few years, especially for Mormon funerals.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so the afterlife, the concept of an afterlife didn't scare me, but I hadn't thought about, well, what would it be like to see a ghost, or what would it be like to, you know, feel a ghost or whatever.
Right.
And we lived in Southern California, and he needed to transport a body and conduct a graveside service for this elderly woman who passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with him. So the funny part is, you know, we stop by the side of the road and take a nap in this van with a casket sitting there. So it's like, who does that? But we get to Northern California, and I think there were maybe two family members, because she was quite an elderly lady that passed. But we're having this nice, simple little ceremony in the cemetery. And all of a sudden, I feel this wonderful presence, like between me and the husband. And I think the family members were on the other side of him. And I think, oh, what is that? It's like, I think it's the lady, you know, who's, you know, because she's, you know, here at her funeral. It's like, I think it's the lady. Well, this is really cool. And so, okay, that was fine. And it didn't, and I used to sing at a lot of funerals that he conducted, but I didn't always, you know, feel that the spirit
right.
there. I was just there to sing a song and whatever. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
I remember when we lived in Ohio, he was no longer a funeral director, but the mother of his brother-in-law passed, and I had met her while she was alive. And again, she was another elderly woman. Well, I sang at her funeral, and then I could just tell that as I looked at the back of the room, the back of the chapel, I go, her spirit's like hanging out near the ceiling in that particular corner. And I just knew she was there. And it wasn't like she was saying anything to me. I just knew she was there.
She was hanging out.
Fast forward many years. And after I met Mark, the current husband, and I had a newspaper for a while, and I was writing about cool places to go visit in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. And he said, well, why don't you go check out this USS Hornet aircraft carrier in Alameda, which is next to Oakland. And, you know, I hear there's ghosts on board. It's like, okay, you know, why not? But before I knew there were ghosts, he said, well, it's got a lot of cool military history. So I went down there and I did the tour and learned about the military history, wrote about that.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, there's a psychic going to be giving a talk about the ghosts on the Hornet. So I go, I'll go listen to that.
Wow.
And it is very famous now as an aircraft carrier. It's a museum and it's very famous for its ghosts. And so a lot of paranormal investigators go there. And they do like sleepovers, and the docents tell ghost stories, and sometimes people see weird things. But I happened to go there with one of the docents, and she was a psychic, and so we could go after hours. So we went as visiting hours were closing, and so she took me in these areas, and it's like, okay, we're going down this one hall, and I was like, oh, it's really cold in here, and the walls feel very damp.
Yeah.
And so we get into this other area. The forecastle where all the anchor chains are, and I climb up this ladder, and she's going into the bunk room, and I'm at the top of this ladder, and it's like, oh, I think there's a spirit like just at the other side of this landing, and it's like this shadow peeking out from behind this column, and it's like, oh, hello, you know, and of course I might have been saying this out loud or just thinking it in my head, but it was like this person just wanted me to, you know, hi, how are you? Who's here?
Acknowledge.
It was so, yes, it was so cool. And we went into the chapel, which had not been restored yet. And we could both tell, okay, there's somebody crouching behind these boxes. And it was a spirit that was very scared and very unsure because, yes, that ship had seen combat and it had seen aliens and it had seen all kinds of, you know, trauma. And the ship is famous for ghosts of spirits who served on the ship or just Navy, you know, former Navy people who died and wanted to go hang out on this cool ship with all the other ghosts. So there's lots of ghosts there. And it's one of the famous things is the engine room is in the main hangar bay. And it's now the women's bathroom. And so some people have reported feeling like somebody was watching them when they were in the bathroom or just getting an odd feeling. And because the guys that used to work there in the engine room, you know, have a sense of humor. And I didn't feel them like watching me when I was in the restroom. But when I was outside of the restroom, I was using black and white and didn't have digital cameras yet. Mm-hmm. So black and white film. And I developed, it's like, oh, look, there's their energy. They weren't orbs, but they were, you could just tell the plasma-like energy shows up in the film. And it's like, oh, this is so cool. And the other cool thing I love about that ship is the few times I've been there, and I've been there with two different psychics, my father-in-law always shows up because he was Air Force, but he was a liaison for the Air Force and the Navy and military intelligence. And he'd been on there because of alien stuff and all kinds of things. But he's been there with me, especially when I've been on the flight deck. Both psychics said, your father-in-law is standing right to your left side. I go, I know, I can feel him, and they can see him. And it was so, so cool. And he's been with me many times when I've given talks in England and to small groups, big groups. He's always been there. And I never met him when he was alive because I met my husband like after his dad died. But he and I, you know, we talk regularly through a medium. So it's like I know him now and it's fabulous. So
what year was that when this was happening?
The early 2000s.
Oh, the first time that you went to the ship?
Because I met Mark in late 1997, and it would have been, you know, a couple of years after that. So really late 1990s and early 2000s.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. And then you went back soon afterwards?
I've been several times. So Yeah, because I'd been like for the historical tour, then I went for the ghosty tour with my friend, and then her and another paranormal investigator, you know, we did like a Halloween party, you know.
There. So you're used to this stuff.
and my psychic friend from England, when she came to the United States to visit us, we went, and she and I had other experiences there. And that would have been, you know, a little bit late. Well, that would have been after 2007, you know, maybe 2009 or 10.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been with multiple people. And she and I actually had an alien. Well, no, we didn't encounter an alien there. We encountered a sailor who had been killed by an alien who'd been on the ship.
Okay. Now anyway. We are, let's say, you mentioned, and a lot of other things happened there. So we get what the paranormal is now, right? But you mentioned elementals, right? Now, that is a topic on its own. Tell us about that.
Most people think of elementals. Yeah, it's like, well, where do you start? Most people think
how much time do we have?
As the fairy realm.
Yeah.
But I have learned, and I didn't know anything about this until I met my current husband. Uh-huh. But he grew up with all this. His dad had elementals around him. Mark had elementals around him. And elementals are, you know, fairies, brownies, sprites, gnomes, trolls. There's a whole family. It, you know, elementals is the umbrella term for that. But there's many different kinds. And, you know, you don't call a brownie a fairy because they're totally different. And in our house in California, there are several that live there. Mm-hmm. And when I first was going to move into the house, my husband drew me a little map saying, okay, this one is the head of the garden, and she lives here, and here these other ones in the garden live at these places, and you know, these ones in the house, you know, live in these rooms, and this one's a brownie, this one's a sprite. And so it's very interesting because their personalities are different, and I can feel them. I can sometimes see like the flit of a shadow, like in the corner of my eye.
Yes. Yeah.
When I've taken pictures, you can see an orb. Mm-hmm. I can't see them with my naked eye yet, but again, my English psychic friend can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like I've learned to, you know, they're wonderful, magical creatures and beings. I don't want to call them creatures. You know, they're interdimensional. They can live for hundreds of years.
Yeah, sure, sure. And thousands, really.
Yes, it's amazing.
When you say interdimensional yes. beings, what do you mean exactly, just to clarify for the audience?
Sometimes, you know, they can slip into another dimension that is, you know, just another slice of reality, basically. But, you know,
time,
maybe I can
dimension,
see
perhaps. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fraction of a second or inch away from mm-hmm. where you and I are sitting right now. So there's one that lives with my husband all the time, and he remembers stuff from history from thousands of years ago and hundreds, you know, so he loves to chime in about on this day in history this happened. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating what he knows and what he shares. And sometimes the elementals can take different shapes. They don't
okay,
always
they shapeshift. You know, okay, yeah,
they can, shapeshift. Especially, you know, either to it's very hard for them to get out of to be corporeal and to take on a physical form because that takes a lot of energy. No matter mm-hmm. whether they're looking like a squirrel or a little person or a butterfly, because mm-hmm. They usually like to be in their energetic form. That's easier for them.
But, okay, so let's say that from the description that you give us, it seems that elementals are a pleasant presence to around us. It's not a, you know, like a poltergeist who creates havoc around us.
No.
So elementals are all around. I mean, they're all around like spirits. I just call them spirits, all of them, because for me, it's full of spirits all over. If I have to start giving them a certain nomenclature, I would go nuts. But and they do. They're very pleasant. They joke and they play, and you never know what you know. Drives me crazy, you know.
and they can be very mischievous. It's like especially if. In my house in California, they, you know, it's like if I did something to tick them off, It's like right. I would suddenly find something missing, or I would get pushed up or down the stairs. And it's like they never hurt me. You know, I never like totally got injured or anything like that, but I've been, you know, nudged. But on the other hand, when I've been missing something, and whether they did it or not, it's like I will let them have their laugh, and then I will ask them very kindly, it's like, will you please, I really need to find my keys, or I really need to find this piece of paper. And all of a sudden the piece of paper is like sticking right out from this big pile of paper. It's like, oh, there you are, thank you very much. So and they also love treats. So like at least on the four quarters of the moon, I have treats for them.
What do you mean on the four quarters? The four quarters of the moon.
New moon, full moon,
right,
quarters.
Right.
So I like to make sure there's water in the garden, and especially it's like you could really go all out, and even for all kinds of holidays during the month, you could put treats out because they love treats. But
look, I'm laughing when you're saying this because
you get this, right?
Well, I get this because it just happened to me last night. I will tell you about it. And you know, I have a stalker. Okay. I've got a stalker and it's been years. I have to he doesn't exist. He just doesn't exist. All right. But he does. And I work as a voiceover, the narrator. Sometimes that's one of the things I do. And some things can be very interesting for me to do. All right. So I got a message. All right. This is the scene. In 15 minutes time, I was about to have a client of mine. I had to go online with a client because we had to do a reading together, a very long one, as a matter of fact. And 15 minutes before I went online, this email came to me, and I was wearing a pair of wireless earbuds that had just come to me the day before. I couldn't wait to have them, right? I had them in my ears. It was wonderful. The sound was fantastic. I thought, oh my God, this is... I had my phone. I got the email and I looked at that. I said, wow, what an opportunity. And I, you know, must have done something. One of these earbuds flew out of my ear.
Oh gosh.
And it was 15 minutes before the phone call. And I thought, oh, please don't, you know, my mother always used to say the house does not steal. It just hides. Okay. So it's I know there's got to be here, right? So I started throwing up everything all over the place. Had to stop because I had my client, did the long reading. Then after that, I started taking up everything, you know, the covers, slip covers of the carpet and this and all. I mean, upside down, under the covers, underneath, under the mattress, in the, you know, everything, shoes, everything. Okay, finally, I'm so tired. And I was lying down in bed, and often when it happens, like I have a lot of things that are nuts that happened to me during the day. I talk to my guides and my masters and I have them tell me, and I record it. I, you know, orally record it on a piece of paper on my computer and just listen to them. Right. All right. So they just come out and I said, look, guys, you know, you've got to help me. This is stupid. I know it's here. Right. And so the first thing they said, okay, it's in that direction, right? So it's southeast. And I knew it had to be where one of my, you know, my closets were. Okay,
right.
Fine. Thank you, guys. And then I said, all right, now tell me what the real reason is all this happened. Was it because that wasn't a real job offer? And that was the answer, because I had gone immediately into the computer. I started pulling up all of my samples. They wanted a 20-second sample, you know? And so I was starting to cut the samples and give them the best. And then I turned on the light, went, and I was right where they had pointed to. And I felt like a fool. It was a period of almost 4 hours that this scene was playing out. And so, you know, here I am, a grown woman thinking, I know. But that's to tell you that, come on, this is just the stalker. You know, you got so excited. So let me, you know, let her lose one of these earbuds that she loves so much. But anyway, that was a big, I'm sorry to take up your time.
No.
It was making me laugh. Okay, so now we have the elementals, right?
Yes, and they're wonderful because they, you know, there are elementals out in space, but the ones here, you know, they honor Mother. They're very obviously connected to Mother Nature and the planet.
Yes, yes, that's the difference between.
Yeah, and they do not appreciate how we keep messing up the planet. So, you know, sometimes when there's a big rainstorm and lots of flooding, they're mad at us. And, you know, but, you know, some, we do get beautiful weather, but they're wonderful beings. Like I know that when I go to give a talk, and I used to give a lot of talks in person, but I can call on them and they help calm me.
Yeah.
And I always feel this energetic, you know, we're going to hold you up while you give the talk type of thing. And they're always there with me. And even when I went to England, I took a bunch with me, and they're just there to help me and support me is the right word. And I have felt that it's a very real presence that I can feel when they're supporting me. So I love that, you know.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. It's fabulous.
It's nice. It's always a positive presence, you know, and a jovial kidding, you know. Okay, they mess up your day a little bit, but you laugh at yourself at the end, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice. Not all cultures call them elementals. That's why I wanted to talk about them.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not, I don't want to make any mistakes, but I believe that it's the Anglo-Saxon tradition of spirituality that brings the notion of fairies and things like that. They don't exist in many cultures of, say, the Far East. They have different concepts. But anyway, let's go on, because there's this big word, magic. But before we go into magic, I want to go into the aliens and UFOs, because you mentioned that that ship had became famous because of UFOs and because of aliens. What do you mean? Can you go into detail? Because I have a very wide-ranging culture on UFOs and aliens. I've probably read every book in the planet.
That's good. That's better than me. I grew up watching Martian movies as a kid.
Oh, yes.
Ray
Bradbury.
Yeah, we've probably seen, and our house in California is filled with all these 1950s and 60s science fiction books. I'm going, do we have to keep all these?
Yeah.
But, you know, they belong to my husband's family, so I haven't thrown them away. And then after he and I got to know each other and we were in our relationship, it became apparent that, and he was giving me things that he was writing and stuff, and it became apparent that, and we never talked about, he never said, sorry, I'm rambling. He never said when we first met, oh, by the way, he told me he'd been in the military and that his dad had been in the military. He never said, and our biggest job was UFOs and aliens. Like, thankfully, it's like I probably would have run for the hills at that point. But in 2004, he said, oh, I hear, you know, there's a UFO conference going to happen down in the Bay Area. Why don't, you know, you might want to go listen to it. It's like, okay. And it was fascinating. I was going to go for one
day.
What
kind of conference was that?
It was a UFO.
UFO conference.
So a lot of speakers. Yeah. And so I was just amazed. And by then I knew a little bit that he'd been involved with the military. And so I started talking to people and I said, well, I need to go back the next day because it was just so fascinating. And I was, you know, all I'd ever heard was a few things that he'd started sharing. And his whole point, I mean, his is from the military perspective. Most people at conferences are not speaking from military experience.
Yes, yeah.
And then by the next year, I had enough material that he'd written for me, or written, because by then I had started a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I had a booth at that particular UFO conference.
Uh-huh.
And then I started getting on radio shows, and then in 2007, I went to England and spoke for the first time. So how cool is it that you get to go to England the very first time you're speaking about UFOs? So, you know, and then, you know, he's been around aliens and stuff his whole life because that's what his dad was doing. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, accidentally saw things that he probably shouldn't have when he was a little kid.
So, and, wait. We're jumping gun. So you talked and you gave a talk. And what was the talk about?
That particular talk was mostly on here's the biography of my husband and his dad. So it makes you see that they, and mostly my husband's, like, from an early childhood, he's had some really unique experiences and he's gotten to meet a lot of really unique, and it makes me sound like a name dropper, but
You know why I ask? Because it's funny that he sent you. He could have gone to talk about himself, no? Or is that not cool?
He's in prison.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's right. I forgot. Okay. Yeah, he's in prison.
So yeah. I'm the spokesperson. And
Jesus, I'm laughing. Excuse me.
But, you know, if he hadn't been in prison, and by the time I met him, he was there already like 10, 15 years, and he was so mad about being in prison. He would have never, ever talked about any of this UFO stuff, because there's most of the stuff that he experienced, he can't talk about, and he still doesn't.
Right. Sure.
There's certain things, not everything he did was for the U.S. military. Sometimes it was for an international intelligence agency. So he's done enough so that he can share certain things about. So I was talking about his unique childhood and, you know, how they lived all these different places and all these famous people that they met, and that, you know, Ian Fleming taught him how to drive a car when he was 8 years old, and he was babysat by these amazing people, and he knew Churchill and all these cool people.
Yeah.
And, but he was also around, he saw aliens as a kid. And when he was seven, he was at a human alien conference in England. So he saw hundreds of species of aliens as a 7 year old. Oh. And his English girlfriend was there with him, and she was taking notes. So now, you know, she passed in 79, but their daughter has shared all her diaries and stuff, so we've got notes and drawings and things. Wow. Because my husband, he was playing with the alien children, he was not taking notes. I was just playing with the boys, you know, and the girls. I was just playing, I was a kid. So it's a lovely mix of his memories and the notes that she took, and I also talked to her through a medium, so she and I talk a lot. So I have found that the wonderful thing for me is that, like, aliens, magic, elementals, it all kind of goes together, because aliens have witches, aliens have elementals.
Wait. You say aliens have witches.
They have their own sorceresses in their societies and their cultures. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have elementals. And then when groups come together, the elementals often translate for each other. Mm-hmm. So it's very fascinating. So, you know, you might come from space and you have your own elementals that you bring with them. And through the guide that I work with, the medium that I work with, I've learned that one of my spirit guides is an alien. She's very much alive and she lives on Earth, but I don't talk to her, you know, she doesn't like to talk through the medium, but she has come through and I've heard her voice, and it's like, well, this is pretty cool. Mark, did you know that I have this guide and her name is blah, blah, blah? And he goes, yeah, I know her. She's an old raptor, and she and her other raptor, you know, raptor. They live in England and they like to sit around and knit and get drunk or drink tea. It's like, oh God, I got to meet them. But I haven't met them yet. Yeah.
I was just invited a few weeks ago to speak at the fourth edition of the UFOlogy World Conference in Barcelona.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they have it every year in Barcelona, one of the largest in the world, really. And, you know, I was flattered, and I thought, I don't know if I want to tell anybody. I don't know if I really want to do that, you know. So I decided that, you know, I'd give people like you the spotlight. I'll just stay behind and do my mediumship and that kind of stuff, and write about my, you know, put it in writing,
Right.
But it is, there's there are, it's very, very, very popular. I mean, thousands and thousands of people come to these all over the world. There's a session online, and there's a session in person in Barcelona.
Oh, wow.
Which is lovely. It's a beautiful city. But it's, you know, I don't know how, in Italian, there's an expression that says, now I'm saying it, but I'm also denying it. We're talking to people, and you talk in a certain way in a certain context. Of course, like you, you have your two worlds, the bookkeeping person and the other person. And I guess everyone has many different hats. And it's very difficult to mix those because, you know, people just won't understand you. That's
But you know, I have found it's fascinating because most of my bookkeeping clients also know that I'm all in with the UFOs, and they know that's one of my passions, and I go speak on that. And so several of them, when they see a news item, it's like, they'll send it, Joanne, did you see this?
Did
you see this on the news?
Now that's nice.
Did you see this in the New York Times? It's like, because they know that that's what I'm really passionate about. It's like, I'm old. I want to retire from bookkeeping.
Amen.
But it's like I still need to bring in some money. But it's fascinating because I love that my clients do know that about me, and there's only one that thinks I'm nuts. The rest of them either don't say anything, or the rest of them are right along with me. And it's interesting because when I was working on my book, I participated in like a writing group to help get some guidance and critique and stuff. And I started telling them about my UFO and paranormal, and they're going, you know, why are you, I don't know where you're going to go with this. It's like, I don't know that, you know, it's going to get any traction. And so then I started with the chronology stuff, and okay. But then all of a sudden you have mainstream media talking about UFOs in the mainstream news. And this was just a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and they go, oh, okay, now I get it. Yeah, this is a good thing to have in your book. I go, well, thank you, because I'm not taking it out. But
yeah.
Well, and this is just who I am. So.
Yeah, but there's a slice, let's say, to the reality of the alien world that is not all, you know, positive. And but again, you know, there's all this news and fake news, and it's very difficult to distinguish between what occurs, you know, and I don't want to say what is real, but what occurs and what has not occurred. Now, do you dabble even in that side of the alien experiences or phenomena?
Only to the extent that I know about several less than friendly species.
Yeah.
And I do mention them in my talks, and especially with Mark's military background. And, you know, I'm very open about, he still is a Navy captain. He's a Navy captain. Mm-hmm. And he still is in contact with active military people. So he still is in the loop.
I get it.
On military stuff and intelligence stuff. So, you know, he knows when a negative alien group is behind, like, say, a current war.
Yeah.
Or a war a few years ago in the Middle East.
Yeah, I'm stopping you.
Just a moment.
In the corner of your video, there's
a
black head. It looks like a shadow. It looks like a shadow. Go on. I'm sorry.
One of my cats. No, it's one of my cats.
A real cat.
A real cat. Yeah. It's funny. The one that would make the most noise is at the vet today. So the other two are sleeping, and they don't seem to bother me when I'm doing these. So it's like I didn't shut them in the room, but he's sleeping and
I interrupted so, you know, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. There are definitely negative alien species who are not our friends, and who would love to take over the planet, and who would love to make us all slaves, and who are involved with lots of kidnapping incidents.
Abductions.
And they ship abductions, and they ship lots of people out to space for bad things. But you know, and so I do present that because that is very real.
Yeah.
And since I've been, you know, active with this and knowing about this for over 20 years now, and my intuition is becoming way stronger. And so now I can look at an incident. I'm going, okay, I don't think that's exactly what the public story, you know, the public story is not exactly true. Mm-hmm. And I used to be able to go see my husband every week and we could talk about this stuff. Now I only see him every couple months, but, well, with COVID, it's made it really hard to visit.
Yeah,
so
I can imagine.
But I still get a lot of good information from him. But and it's like, even though it's like, okay, I know there's a backstory about what's going on in Ukraine.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are throwing out theories. And he's going, they know there's a backstory, but they don't quite have it.
We don't quite have it.
And it's like, but I know I'm going to, it's like, I know there's a bad alien group working with Putin. So I'll just put it out there.
Yeah. This, it's no joke. It's no secret. Because I work with other energy people here and we have come together to eliminate a mountain of negative alien groups because we were all getting hit psychically.
Oh, wow.
And it was a mess. It was a mess. It was a mess. I swear to you on the head of my children, when we did this, it was the beginning of December, when we did that, everything just seemed to subside. It was a breath of fresh air and relaxation all of a sudden. I kid you not. Recently, some things have been acting up, and I saw one of my colleagues, and I said, I knew we had to get together again in March, but the time is not ripe. I think that something will be happening in the next 2 months, but it is, like you said, I can't use the expression, the devil made me do it, you know, that lovely expression, the devil made me do it, you know, well, it's hard for people to believe that heads of state could be influenced negatively by extraterrestrial beings to the point of acting against the majority of residents in that country. So, you know, this is, it's almost so unbelievable. But having said all of that,
it's greed.
Yeah, it's greed. But having greed said all power, of that, there's we understand that the government is going to change so much and revolutionize, because we're not going to see governments as they are today. That's very, very clear to me. And I can't put my finger on timing. But I will be alive. I plan to be around, you know. So
good, me too.
And so it's not far off, you know. And it's like
the story is not new. Yeah, I'm sorry. The story is not new because for years, you know. And it's like I have reports going back to the 70s, and I know this happened even before that.
Yeah,
you know, of aliens interacting with humans, whether they're military or government or just
great
business leaders,
right?
Because, you know, you, it's like, well, we'll, if you'll give us this, we'll do this for you.
Or
if you let us kidnap these people, we'll give you this much technology and we can make you big and powerful and strong, you know, in your business. Or we can make you a star.
Yeah. Right. Right.
In the entertainment
one
field,
of those, you know, like, up there. Yeah, one of those things up there.
If you want to be a big name in the entertainment industry, we can do that for you. Just sell us your soul, basically.
Yeah.
So it's
I'm laughing today. You know, it's making me laugh because, you know, something you change so much every day is just brings on so many changes, you know. And what you would do or have done yesterday seems so ridiculous to you today, right?
Right.
And having had the let's say the experiences that you've had, that we have had, makes you fully aware that you have no clue of what is coming up, but you can only surmise, like I did with the government, you know, because historically I have to put one block after another and then, you know, see that in the future. It's fascinating, though. It really is fascinating.
It is. It's like, for me, it's like, I know there's something I'm meant to do beyond bookkeeping. You know, I have.
You made her funny.
I have some kind of career or some kind of cool thing I'm supposed to do.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's like, and it isn't bookkeeping, and
it ain't numerology.
No, and I don't know what it is yet. It hasn't fallen into place yet. I just know it's there.
You're doing it now, though. You're doing it now.
Yes, exactly.
Because even simply talking about it, yeah.
The structure hasn't
the groundwork.
But yeah. I love all this stuff. I love meeting all these new people. And so, you know, for me, again, it's like, I know it's going to happen. I don't know all the logistics or all the details. I'm just going to faith that it's going to happen if I keep doing, laying all this groundwork and meeting who I'm supposed to be meeting. And, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I'm looking forward to that. But, you know,
but
I don't want to be a bookkeeper at 90.
I will pray for you. let's talk about your book, Midlife Magic, because it is, okay, you share stories of your experiences with your husbands, but that word magic keeps coming up, and we've been dancing around it, but we haven't spoken about it. Give us I don't want to say a brief summary of the book. What made you write the book? How about that?
Okay.
She's looking up to the sky, ladies and gentlemen. She's looking for some kind of.
In about 2012, I think, I met a woman at a super soldier mind control conference I was at. And I can't even remember. I don't think I was a speaker. I was on a panel and I had a booth. Mm-hmm. But she came up to me. We kind of met and we were saying hello. And she goes, well, when's your next story coming out? And I go, well, you know, Mark will be writing something because he's always writing. No, I mean your next story. It's like, what? I'm not a writer. No. Yeah. When is your story coming out? I'm not a writer. It's like, you know, you've got a story to tell. I go, okay. And, you know, she and I would run into each other at all these conferences. Well, how's that book coming along? It's like, yeah. And so, but then I started making notes. And as a Mormon, you learn to start writing your history and your family history. So I had a lot of notes about my childhood. And then it was just something kicked in. And I decided I would write this. And then, you know, I started. And then this woman showed up and said, well, I'm going to do this writing group. And something said, well, okay, now's the time to really get serious about your book. You've written dribs and drabs.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And so I started with that group and I started putting things on paper and writing it out because I had a lot of these experiences and I thought, well, this is good for me. And so it didn't take that long to write the book. Actually, you know, maybe, I don't know if it even took a whole year because once I got into it, I was just doing it. And then by then COVID has happened. And so, okay, well, I can't see Mark. So now I've got more time to write. And I think my big changes in my life happened in my 40s. So that's why I called it Midlife. So the title of the book and the cover, because the cover is very magical looking, it just all came to me. So again, it's like, oh, the thought came into my mind. This is what you need to call the book.
Yeah.
And oh, here's the cover image you need to have on the book, even though that's not anything that my editor said I
wanted.
Should use.
Yeah.
I go, this is what I, you know, this is what I'm seeing. And I knew the illustrator I wanted, and she did exactly what I wanted, and then added some extra fairies. It's like, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So,
do you have a copy you can show us? Can you, of you who are watching the video version, hang on, bring it right in front of your face. If you could bring it in front of your face, there you go. Midlife Magic. So there is a forest there with light, shimmers of light.
Here I am. I'm on my path. So
Okay.
There we are. So
wow.
So
nice.
It's interesting because what the book did for me was, I would say, therapy. Because
writing
is. I got to throw all the crap about the husbands and the bad husbands and really look at, well, what did I do to my daughter by putting her through all these fathers? But also, what lessons did I learn? And I realized that now I'm in a place where, okay, and by this time I'd already been with my, you know, Mark, we'd already been together 20 some odd years. And it's like, but I need to really stand up for myself. I need to really take care of myself. I can't have somebody just saying, well, you need to be doing this. It's like, I really had to own it.
Right, own it. That's
really,
it. It's
really
story.
Be happy with myself.
It's and cathartic. Really know,
it was fabulous. And, you know, my daughter was this fabulous cheerleader. I thought she was, you know, she might say, oh, Mom, you know, how can you write about that? But she never did. And she got a lot of value out of the book. And now my granddaughters go, oh, Grandma, you know, our friends know all about you and your book. It's like, well, did they buy a copy?
Yeah, right. Just least, no, you know, talk.
they have, you know, your grandma's famous. Not really, but so it was just a really good process for me and the opportunity to do some inner work and to really look at what path am I on and what did I learn? So, and again, I know there's so much more. It's like, I'm just on the beginning.
That's the beginning. Yeah. So my question is now, where's the second book? You've got it in your drawers or in your computer. I know the files are there. Come on. You got the outline, title, draft title.
I know. I don't know which one to do yet because I really want to write about my dad.
Me too. I've got three in the works.
I know. It's like, and I really want to research more about my past lives. So it's like, I don't know which one to do. And my daughter and I, especially during COVID, because that's why I came to Portland, to be near somebody during COVID. You know, it's like we've been, and she's been divorced once. I've been divorced way more than once. But it's like, let's make a list of, you know, what's on our bucket list of things we absolutely have to have in a relationship versus what need to never be in a relationship again. You know, what are the red flags? Because I've got a whole bunch that I should have looked at that I never did. But so I'm not sure what the next book is going to be, but I know there's another book.
Yeah, of course, at least. You know, soon.
I'm obviously have no problem chatting and talking and spewing stuff.
spewing. That's the word.
Spewing.
Well, Joanne, it was such a delight to talk to you, topics that were difficult to even broach, but it was a delight to get into the details of some of these things. I appreciate you taking the time, really. And I hope we can do this again because the second book is coming and we have so much to talk about, you know?
I know. Well, I want to hear more about you too, so we'll have to keep in touch.
Well, we will. And so my promise to you and your promise to me. My promise to you is having you back on the show, and your promise to me is writing the book.
Okay.
All right.
I've been challenged. The glove is down.
You got challenged, right? The glove is down. All right. So how can we find Joanne? We can find her on a Facebook group, Midlife Magic, and then in LinkedIn, Joanne Richards, and also Instagram, Joanne Richards. Is that right?
Correct. Joanne Richards, author for Instagram, and Midlife Magic. And then I have a website for the book, dragonhillbooks.net.
Right, dragonhillbooks.net. Okay, I'll put that in the description of the episode. Thank you again. A big kiss.
Thank you. Mwah.
You made my evening.
You made my day.
Bye-bye, Joanne.
Bye, dear.